Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here we go with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. It appears that Dan the Man is running a little late, so I will handle it by myself until hopefully he rolls in here in about 15 minutes or so. If you'd like to call in and keep me company, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email me, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So look for a new one tomorrow morning. Again, we're still attempting to add content during the week. I keep hoping. Hasn't happened yet, but I keep hoping. Anyways, you know the deal while you're at sportstimeradio.com. Go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you know, I'm out there on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time. It's B-U-R-K-E-T-I-M-E is how you find me on the Twitter thingy majig. So, all right, well, let's go over the FanDuel lineup I put together for tonight. Of course, this is the 605 main league. And now I decided, you know, I've been talking a lot the last few days about this oddshark.com website where they actually make predictions on the score of the game. I've had pretty good luck the last 2 days using their pitchers. So I'm going to try it again one more time. And believe it or not, the site has the Seattle Mariners scoring just one run tonight against the Boston Red Sox. So I went ahead and I used Eduardo Rodriguez of the Red Sox as my starting pitcher. He cost me $8,700. I'm hoping, you know, it works out. It's going to be interesting to see. Again, I had I tried Mike Fiers last night of the Astros and Charlie Morton the night before, and they both scored right around 40 points. You know, if I can get that out of Rodriguez and hopefully the lineup I have here will hit, I'll be okay. Here's the lineup I ended up with. My catcher is Francisco Cervelli of the Pirates. He's hitting seventh in their lineup. He cost me $3,000. I have Mitch Moreland of the Red Sox at first base. He's hitting fifth in their lineup. He cost me $3,400. This is my bargain guy here at second base. Jed Lowry of the A's is actually hitting third in their lineup. He'll cost me $2,300. Third base, I have Anthony Rendon of the Nationals. He's hitting cleanup in their lineup tonight. He'll cost me $3,500. Shortstop, I have Andrelton Simmons of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. He's hitting second in their lineup, and he'll cost me $3,100. My outfield is Michael Conforto of the New York Mets. He's leading off for them. He'll cost me $4,500. Jose Bautista of the Toronto Blue Jays is my next outfielder. He's hitting third in their lineup. He cost me $3,800. And my lineup rounds out with Odubel Herrera of the Philadelphia Phillies. He's leading off for the Phillies tonight. He cost me $2,700. So again, here we go really quick. Rodriguez of the Red Sox as my pitcher. Cervelli of the Pirates as my catcher. Moreland of the Red Sox at first. Lowry of the A's at second. Rendon of the Nationals at third. Simmons of the Angels at short. And the outfield is Conforto, Bautista, and Herrera. Again, that's for the 605 main, so you got about 30 minutes to get into that. I know the lineup I put together yesterday on there, you know, I had two really good days, now I've had two really kind of blah days. And I was wrong about Mike Fiers. He scored 8 whopping points. I must have been looking at my other pitcher. But, this was a really bad lineup. You know, Xander Bogaerts Andrew Benedetti. Oh yeah, that's right. I did the stack lineup yesterday. Looking for the Boston Texas game, they said they were going to score double digits as a whole. They end up scoring 8. Boston 6, Texas 2. But yeah, the stacking definitely did not work out for me. Bogaerts had a big night, 34.4. Benintendi was 18.7. Delino DeShields was 12.2, and Mookie Betts was 12. Other than that, yeah, they kind of stunk. I scored 94.50 points and finished 15th out of a 20 team league. So I did better. I did try a nighttime league, which is where I must. Oh yeah, I went with Robbie Ray. Remember we talked about Robbie Ray's splits being monstrous at home and on the road? Well, I plugged him into my, well, I guess technically it was my late night lineup, but it was like an 8 o'clock lineup or something. And he ended up going off for 58 points. The sad part was I didn't hit enough. I ended up not moneying by, I can double check this here real quick. I needed 11, a little less, 10 more points than I would have moneyed. So hopefully, we'll have some better luck tonight. I like that lineup I put together. I hope it works out for me and works out for you. But let's go ahead and jump in and look at some of the other options that are kind of floating around out there for tonight. I know obviously the interesting one, and if you're going to spend a lot of money, Max Scherzer is your guy tonight. He's got a really good matchup against the San Diego Padres. And I saw where in his last four outings against the Padres, he has struck out 10 or more batters. So it could be very interesting if you want to spend some money on Scherzer. He is 11,800. So it's going to cost you if you want to try to build around that. A couple other high-priced pitchers. Jacob deGrom is pitching for the Mets tonight against the Pirates. He's 11,000 on the nose. And then you get Chris Archer pitching for the Rays tonight against Minnesota. I'm su a little surprised Archer is cost so much against the first-place team, but it'll cost you 10,600 to get Archer in your lineup. Jake Arrieta is right there at 9,600. And then Eduardo Rodriguez actually rounds out the top five at 8,700. Maybe do you think, I'm not buying it, but do you think Masahiro Tanaka bounces back? He's been terrible in his last two starts. The interesting name, if you're a gambler, and obviously if you're on this site, you're a gambler. Mike Clevinger gets the start against Kansas City tonight. He's been solid in two of his four outings. He's been solid. One, I'm guessing he didn't start. That must have been a relief appearance. His last outing, he was monstrous. He put up 55 points. Kansas City, they're a solid hitting team, but I don't know if I would call them great. Maybe he's an option if you just want to spend $7,800 and try to build your lineup another way. The Cardinals are in Colorado, but Carlos Martinez is on the mound. Now, obviously, his price is way down because they're in Colorado at 7,400. Maybe you've got a little belief there. That could be a possibility. A couple guys at 7 grand that are interesting. Kevin Gausman's getting the start for the Orioles tonight, but he is facing the Astros, so that's a little iffy there for me. But Hector Santiago, he's making the starts for the Twins against the Rays tonight. The concern may be he may not get the win if Chris Archer is rolling, but he's coming off a back-to-back bad starts. He had 9 points his last start, and then he actually had a -7 his start before that. But the other ones, it's 42, 25, 27, and 38. For 7 grand, if you think he's going to give you something like that, it's possible he could be a you know, a money maker or a money builder or how a money saver or however you want to look at him as a money something or other. Again, I don't know how big of a, you know, gambler you are or, you know, how you take these things. As you know, I never bet more than a dollar or two. So, you know, but, you know, another guy, you know, Antonio Senzatella is pitching for the Rockies tonight. You know, he's been a little up and down, but he, you know, he has put in, you know, some good outings. Again, he's pitching against Carlos Martinez. His last three starts, we're looking at 18, 24, and 34. Two of those starts, oddly, the 24 and the 34 were in Colorado. So, you know, but like I said, the tough thing may be the fact that, you know, it is Martinez. Will it be a pitcher's duel? You know, you just don't know what you're going to get there. Other than that, you know, the rest of the bottom of the board, I'm not going with Mike Bolsinger or Mike Pelfrey. I just can't do it. You know, I know, you know, Matthew Boyd is pitching against the White Sox tonight, but the weather is terrible here. They've already called game one of the doubleheader, so we'll have to see what they decide to do with game two, but all reports are they're going to try to play it. So let's take a slide over to catcher, see what we got going on. Buster Posey and Yadier Molina are on top of the board at $3,800. Of course, Yadi's playing in Colorado. So Wellington Castillo is $3,300. And then there's a little group here at $3,200. Sal Perez, Alex Avila, Tony Walters, and Jonathan Lucroy are all $3,200 for catcher tonight. So, you know, you kind of look and see. You know, I was a believer in Lucroy last night, and he literally scored a zero. So, you know, you got to kind of, you know, you're picking and choosing your poison here. You never know what you're gonna get. You know, of course, the advantage to Lucroy is I believe he's hitting fourth in the lineup now. Alex Avila is hitting second. You know, again, if they get that game in, you know, that's going to be the real difficult call there. You can get Yasmani Grandal for $3,000. He's batting third for the Dodgers tonight. Other than that, it looks like everybody is just kind of five or lower as I kind of hum through the catchers here. Let's get down to the bottom and see if there's anybody that we possibly could like here and really get a bit of a steal for, you know, $2,000 or $2,100. Austin Romine is in the Yankee lineup. I believe he is catching because Gary Sanchez is not starting. I should say not out. He's just not starting. So, you know, they're matching up against the A's, and I'm drawing a blank right now. I believe the A's are pitching Sean Manna. So, you know, if you're, you know, maybe you're buying that matchup. You know, again, you could save some money. I mean, if you went with a Max Scherzer, you know, maybe you're going to need to go after a guy like that. And I did double check; it is Sean Manna. So, you know, maybe that could make a little bit of sense for you. You know, of course, there are other guys. Omar Narváez is scheduled to catch for the White Sox, and Mike Zunino for the Mariners. They're both $2,200. There is rain forecast for both those games. Christian Vasquez and Austin Hedges. Oh, and Chris Iannetta are all $2,300. So there are some guys down there if you're believing, you know, you need to save some money. And again, you know, if you ran out there with Max Scherzer or something, you're going to need to find a way to save some money. Maybe catching is the way to do it. I've kind of learned, and this is just me, that, you know, the second base short area is where you can really have better luck finding guys. But then again, you know, you never know. I mean, maybe, you know, if you get Roman goes 2 for 3 and drives in a couple runs, you're gold for $2,000. And, you know, if Scherzer does what Scherzer's expected to do. So, but all right, well, let's move over to first base. We're looking at Paul Goldschmidt for $4,800. Joey Votto, who's on a streak of reaching base in 27 straight games, for 4,500. Matt Carpenter at 4,400. Anthony Rizzo at 4,100. And then a couple guys at $4,000 being Jose Abreu and Mark Reynolds. So, again, you know, you can kind of, you know, pick your poison. First base is one of those spots. I've never really advocated saving money at first base. You know, I tried with Sam Travis the other day in his major league debut, and he just didn't produce. You know, to me, like, saving money on a guy is when you get down at, you know, 3,300 and you plug in a Mike Napoli or a Tommy Joseph or even a Justin Smoke. You know, when you're using guys like that, you know, you can get Matt Holliday, who's listed as a first baseman, for 3,200. A little surprised he's not in the outfield. Will Myers is way down here. Of course, he is facing Max Scherzer. So, but maybe you got a belief that Myers is the guy. I know Josh Bell's been doing pretty well. Let me pull up his numbers. We'll get a game by game on Bell here, because I thought he and he is facing Jacob DeGrom. Yeah, he had a 9-2, a 0, a 21-9, and a 9-2 in his last four. So he's been doing pretty well, but he's got a tough matchup tonight against DeGrom. So, you know, maybe, again, that's a bad look there. You know, it's a lot of it, you know, I know there's a ton of numbers to crunch, and you can go off feel, you know, just one of those things. You know, I know some guys like to strictly go with stats, and I'm just going to use stats, and you know, I'm going to go this route, and this is all I'm going to do. And, you know, then there's other guys who are a little more open to, you know, hey, I think this guy's going to have a good night, you know, and we'll go that route. At the bottom here, you know, John Hicks for 2,300. Adrian Gonzalez is an interesting play at 2,500. I know he's facing Jake Arrieta, but Arrieta has had his problems, especially in the first inning. So, you know, again, and I'm not advocating using any of these guys. Matt Davidson of the White Sox is down here at 2,500. Lucas Duda, 2,600. You know, Yuri Gurriel and Adam Lind are 2,700. So, there are some guys you can sneak down here and find if you're believing in that, or you think, again, you know, maybe you overpaid for, you know, you think you overpaid for Scherzer and you're really trying to save some money to get a guy you have to have tonight. So, you know, maybe you go down there and you grab one of those guys and, you know, you take a shot. Hopefully it works out. We'll hop over to second base here real quick. We got Jose Altuve and Daniel Murphy at 3,800, but Murphy is not in the Nationals lineup tonight. So we'll throw him out. Colton Wong, DJ LeMahieu, and Robinson Cano are all 3,600, and Brian Dozier is 3,500. So, obviously, again, Wong and LeMahieu, their price is a little advanced because they're in Colorado. So, you know, that obviously bumps things up on you here. You know, like in my lineup, you know, I went with Jed Lowry for 2,300. He's been really hot as of late. You know, he's hitting third in that A's lineup. So, you know, he's going to get his at-bats. If they get some guys on, he's going to have a chance to drive in some runs. So, you know, that was kind of, you know, he was kind of my money-saving guy as I built around. You know, the only guy actually cheaper on the board is Danny Espinosa at 2,200. You can get Chase Utley or Corey Spangenberg for the same price that I paid for Lowry at 2,300. Adam Rosales is 2,400 and Ryan Schiff is 2,500. So it, you know, a lot is going to depend on, how you feel down here. You know, I myself have been kind of waiting for Jose Peraza to kind of get rolling. He's at 2,700. And, you know, I know I had him in a lineup the other day. He's facing Aaron Nola tonight. He had 3 points last night, but he was 15-2, 6-2, and 21-2 before that. It seems like he's kind of been on an every other game thing. So maybe tonight is that game if you're willing to take that shot for 2,700. You know, he's definitely an interesting player with You know, I would call a positive matchup. I mean, Aaron Nola is a good pitcher, but you know, he's not gonna, you know, he's not, you know, gonna, you know, we're not gonna hear him, you know, winning the Cy Young anytime soon here. So I think we're okay there. You know, just again, one, you know, one of those things. What's your, you know, what's your comfort level here? You know, you can find a Javi Baez at 2,900 or a Rognor Odor who's really struggled this year. So, you know, you're willing to pay $3,000 for a Greg Garcia for the Cardinals. You know, he's in Colorado, so of course it costs more. Otherwise, he would be way down to the bottom. He is hitting second, so he's going to get some at bats. You can get D. Gordon for that same price. Obviously, if you're, you know, you're going to pump Garcia in, you're hoping that, you know, that Colorado air kicks in and he hits a bomb for you. You know, I believe Devon Travis hit a grand slam. Was it last night or two nights ago? So, maybe he, or no, was it Ryan Goings, I think, hit the grand slam. I think Travis as a whole has just been super hot. He's got a pretty good matchup against A.J. Griffin. Yeah, here you go. 18-7 last night, 6-2, 28-7, 9, and 15.5. Oddly, his average is really 238, but he's been putting up some really good FanDuel numbers. He did homer. It was two nights ago. The Blue Jays were off last night. So maybe you're buying Devon Travis tonight against A.J. Griffin. You know, 3,300, it could be a really solid play. You know, and he is one of the guys who's been really hot. So let's take a drop in over to third base. No surprises here, really. Nolan Arenado at the top of the board at 4,800. Jet Jerko gets the big bump because he's in Colorado at 4,300. Chris Bryant and Jake Lamb at 4,200. And then you've got Manny Machado, Travis Shaw, and the returning Josh Donaldson at $3,800. So a lot of really interesting options at the top of the board. You know, Lamb has been... with the exception, I think the night I had him in the lineup has just been a monster the last week or so. As soon as I traded him off my weekly fantasy team, he just broke out. That's all he needed. He was just waiting for me to get rid of him. So, you know, I guess, that, you know, I traded him oddly to Mr. Fantasy, and it's worked out well for him. You know, third base is another position I don't hugely advocate for going down the board. But, you know, again, you know, you spent some money, you got Chris Archer, you doubled up with Paul Goldschmidt, you know, you're looking to save some money. Luis Valbuena is down here at 2,300. You know, Josh Rutledge is in the starting lineup for the Red Sox tonight at 24. Again, Yarenjas Solarte is down here. He's actually hitting second for the Padres. Obviously, incredibly tough matchup against Max Scherzer. You got Chase Headley at 26. Evan Longoria is down here at $2,700. He may be a guy you're kind of leaning to or looking at. You know, his price tag's been way down all year. He's hitting third for the Rays tonight. You know, there could be some value there against Hector Santiago. You know, I read, what was it, earlier in the week that you shouldn't give up on Nicholas Castellanos. I don't know if that means you want to put him in your lineup tonight, but he's $2,700. Trevor Plouffe is coming off a pretty decent hot streak. He's at 28. Maybe you play Joey Gallo. He hits a home run. He's at 2,800. So, you know, there are, you know, some guys to plug in, you know, look to kind of get your guys in or your work going here and, you know, see just kind of how it works out for you. You know, we'll just have to kind of see. Let me, run out the shortstops here for you. The top of the board is Trey Turner and Carlos Correa at 3,800. Xander Bogaerts is 3,700. And then Francisco Lindor and Trevor Story, who's just recently back for injury, are at 3,600. I believe Dan has stopped in here. Hi, Dan.
Hello. I tweeted you my lineup once you're done.
Oh, did you? Okay. So yeah, I'm just kind of cruising around looking for, you know, the top guys and then where you can save some money. If you really want to plug Andres Blanco into your lineup tonight, he's $2,000 down here. You know, again, the story, you went with Scherzer, you went with Archer, you went with DeGrom, you're looking to save money. Daniel Robertson, who gets a lot of playing time for the Rays, is 2,100. Alcides Escobar is 2,200. I had him in my lineup the other day, and he just missed homering for me. It was the catch Ellsbury made where he knocked himself out. Eric Ibar's at 2,200. Wilmer Defoe is in the Nationals lineup at 2,300. So I know Jose Iglesias has been really hot for the Tigers. So hot they moved him into the leadoff spot. But, you know, again, that question is, will they get that game in? Because, you know, it's here. So, another guy like Elvis Andrus is in the two hole. He's at 2,600. I think there's some good value there. I know Tim Beckham's been slumping a little for the Rays, but he's leading off tonight at 2,800. So you're gonna get some at bats. Let's jump over to the outfield real quick so we can get wrapped up since Dan has joined us, and then we'll take a peek at his lineup. Charlie Blackmon at the top is $5,000. Mike Trout is 4,900. Bryce Harper is 4,600. And then Mookie Betts and Michael Conforto are 4,500. So yeah, you know, again, a lot of good value at the top of the board. Obviously, I'm not as excited with Blackmon against Carlos Martinez that he's on top of the board, but that's how that's how these things go. So we'll have to see how it works out. Let's the outfielders are always fun because there's normally always a bunch of low money guys that you can kind of speculate on. So let's see who we got down at the bottom of the board that maybe you can save some money. Hey, Matt Caesar's starting for the Padres today. Here you go, Matt. Have a start against Max Scherzer. So, Daniel Robertson is in the Indians lineup tonight. He's 2,200. Andrew Romine, I believe are there two Andrew Romines, or what's the other one's name? One's catching for the Yankees tonight. The other one's in the outfield for the Tigers. So you can save money on either of them. Bradley Zimmer's in the Indians lineup. He's an interesting, he's a high-touted rookie, 2,300. You could, possibly save a little money there with him. Ben Revere's in the lineup. I bet Mr. Fantasy's excited about that for 2,300. Mark Quintana's in the A's lineup. He had a huge night the other night. Eddie Rosario's at 2,400. So is Hyun-Soo Kim and Ricky Weeks Jr. getting a start. Yasiel Puig back in the Dodger lineup for 2,600 if you're on him tonight. So yeah, there is some value down the board here if you want to kind of search it out and look for it. Again, if you spent that money on a top pitcher, because again, there are, three pitchers, 10-6 and up, and then Jake Arrieta is right there at $10,000. So it's not tough to spend your money there. But all right, well, let's see what Dan did tonight. Well, we'll compare Dan's lineup to my lineup. He has Aaron Nola of the Phillies pitching for him at 8,100. He went with Alex Avila of the Tigers at 3,200. Jose Abreu of the White Sox at $4,000. Jed Lowry, we have the same second and third baseman, Dan. Dan's got Jed Lowry for $2,300. He went with Anthony Rendon for $3,500. He's got Chris Owings at short for $2,900. And then his outfield is Aaron Judge for $4,100, Adam Frazier for $3,700, and Aaron Hicks for $3,200. So that's where that's what Dan's looking at. So hopefully, everybody will pick up some money. You got about, let me see what we got left here. Got about 6 minutes to get your lineup in still if you're looking for, looking to get that done. And I scuffled again last night, Dan. I didn't get to 100 points, and then my late night league missed winning money by 10 points.
Isn't that how it is?
So, just didn't work out that way. But hopefully, hopefully tonight is a better night, and I'll get rolling, and we'll get a big win. That's what I'm hoping for. So, at least win some money. I'd like to
win some money. I don't know. I found it difficult today to really pick a catcher. It just seemed like, the stats of the guys, the points that they put up over the last week or so, just haven't been consistently low. It's a little hard to pick that up. And then I forgot about, you know, sometimes when I'm picking the lineup, I forget where they're playing, and then I live in Chicago, and it's pretty crappy. So hopefully they get that White Sox game in, because I'm riding right now, and I don't think I'm going to be able to change it. But hey, at least it's a free roll. And I don't know, do you think it's, you know, I was making money, not really making much money, but, you know, getting 82 cents on the dollar, and I was doing the 50-50s. And I think it was much easier simply for the fact that there's only about, you know, you either got into a 50 or 100 person league as compared to, you know, especially the free rolls when you've got 10,000 people. Do you think that makes it a little rougher when you're in a bigger pool of people?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. You know, and you got to realize if you're getting the free roll, you know, all those guys who do this for a living are getting that same free roll. You know, because we're all at the experience level now. Oh, are you okay?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, maybe that works out a little bit for you. But, yeah, you know, like when I get a free roll, you know, I get it with all those guys who do it for a living. So, yeah, you know, a lot of it comes in. But, yeah, anytime, you know, you're going up against 10,000 other people, you know, or in some cases even more, you know, some of the free rolls are even bigger than that. You know, it's just kind of like, great. Okay. I've got to figure this out. So yeah, it takes a combination of skill and luck to win. It really does.
Yeah. I've done fairly well in some of them where, I mean, out of 10,000 people, I've been hitting in the high 3,000. So granted, I'm not landed any cash into my account. I'm still pretty pleased with those outcomes that I was able to kind of, you know, get that high of a score. It's where I'm in, you know, like the top 30%.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to be able to put up numbers. You know, it's always nicer when they translate into money. But it's kind of, you know, and I've learned that, you know, every year here, it's kind of a learning experience. It's one step at a time to see what's going on and, you know, how your matchups go and, you know, all that other fun stuff that you have to do. So.
Now, you know, one thing I was thinking about earlier today, I know you're not the biggest fan of the sabermetric stuff and all that, but when it comes to sabermetrics, do you think it plays a bigger role in helping pick for fantasy? I mean, because let's be honest, a lot of their stats, you know, don't really mean jack when it comes to, I think, the game and in real life. But do you think a lot of it does help with fantasy? Like your Babbitt?
Oh, yeah. You know,
like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, you know, Mr. Fantasy had been all over that. That's how he had been building a lot of his lineups, and he had done, you know, he did some reading into all that, and he really, he had some, it really helped him have success right out of the gate. You know, the problem with it is it's incredibly time-consuming. So if you don't have the time to sit there and do the research, it's really difficult to keep up with it. And, you know, that's what he ran into. You know, once his work got busy, he couldn't continue to do all the research he was doing. So, you know, but yeah, it definitely seems, you know, like a big plus, like it's very helpful. And when it comes to, you know, when it comes to fantasy, you know, in real life, I mean, obviously it's all, you know, it's the majority of it is crap. I mean, we know that, but yeah, you know, it's definitely a, you know, a fantasy helper.
Do you think it makes a difference though? Because I mean, when it comes to real life, you're only dealing with the guys that are on your team. You know, where in fantasy you've got you have your pull of the entire league. you can use these numbers, and you know, if someone's doing better, you know, you're able to, you're not stuck with just Anthony Rizzo every single day. You know, you get to pick whoever you want at first base. Granted, you got to put it together with the money. Do you think that's what makes it so much more interesting, and why the guys, you know, the people who really get into the sabermetrics, that's why they got into it, was more for fantasy?
No, you know, I know a lot of those guys who got into it wanted to be front office people, and this was their way into a baseball front office. Was, you know, they had this nuance, you know, where now every club has a sabermetric division. You know, they literally do. They have, you know, multiple people who work on the sabermetric aspects of baseball. And it was, yeah, it was just kind of their way in. Obviously, it's easily adapted to fantasy. Instead of, you know, playing your hunch, you can look at numbers. So, you know, I know, you know, a lot of problem with the numbers, though, is, you know, in certain cases, it's, you know, it's an incredibly small sample size. You know, you're looking at guys who have had three or four at bats against a pitcher. You know, that's not going to help you. I mean, just because a guy is 2 for 3 or 3 for 4 doesn't mean that's going to continue into his fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth at bat tonight. You know, because it's so different. But yeah, that's, you know, that's where I guess you got to depend on, you know, how a guy's hitting, or what a guy's, you know, what a guy's BABIP is lately, or, you know, whatever some of the other ones are, you know, are that you can use. So.
Yeah, I mean, my strategy of late has been, you know, what have these guys been scoring on previous days?
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't always work out, but, you know, a guy who's inconsistent, I'm not going to go with.
So, yeah, no, you know, and like, I'm really big on using the hot guy. You know, if a guy's been hot, I want to try to jump on him, you know, and get him in my lineup. I mean, I think I went with Jacob Lamb in my lineup for 5 days in a row. Because, you know, he had just been such a monster. So, you know, it just kind of worked out that way. But, you know, a little bit of an example, you know, Junior Guerrero is back from, you know, the DL tonight. He's pitching for the Brewers. He's facing the Diamondbacks. Now, in the Diamondback lineup tonight, Chris Herman is the only guy who has one at bat against him. So I don't know how that kind of helps you sabermetrically. You know, there's just not enough data there to kind of figure out what's going on. You know, obviously there's other factors, and you know, I know you and I talked about it. You know, the kid from Notre Dame who built the algorithm. You know, had nothing to do with names or places or anything. He simply, you know, plugged in the stats, and, you know, I'm assuming he had ballpark ratings, and he played whatever it spit out, and he won. You know, and he won quite a bit. He did quite well. So, you know, there are ways to do it. And, you know, you do wonder if seeing the names affect guys like you and I who are big fans. You know, because when you're looking at the price tag and you say, okay, well, you know, Chris Bryant is going to cost me $4,200, or, you know, the next guy, you know, third baseman, whoever, is going to cost me $4,200. Well, I see Chris Bryant on a daily basis. I know how great Chris Bryant is. So maybe you don't look at Bryant's matchup, which could be horrible. And the other guy, you know, maybe it's Nolan Arenado, you know, he's playing at home against some fifth starter who's, you know, going to give up some runs. you go away from him because you know Chris Bryant. Arenado goes out, hits two bombs, drives in five. Bryant takes an offer, and you lose out on the points because your fandom gets in the way. You know, and I do have, you know, I'm willingly admit, I do have that problem from time to time. You know, just when I'm looking at a game, you know, if I run into, you know, especially late in the outfield, if I'm priced to the market where I can get an Andrew McCutchen or I can get a Hunter Pence, I seem to end up going that way. And, you know, of course, obviously there's days it works out because, you know, these guys are good players and they will score. But, you know, a lot of times I eat it and, you know, again, my fandom gets in the way. So, but, you know, that's why I never bet more than a dollar or two on a game. So.
yeah, neither do I.
So, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, just kind of my rule. I can go $2 occasionally. You know, if I want to, but, you know, not too often. So. You know, we'll just see how, you know, see how that works out. So, but now oddly, we discussed this quite in depth yesterday, and I was wondering if you saw this. You know, you really like the idea of the White Sox keeping Lucas Giolito down all season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I don't have a problem with. Did you see he went out last night and pitched a 7-inning no hitter?
Yeah.
So, I thought that was humorous because we had been talking about him, and you know, obviously I didn't know he was starting. I was guessing you probably didn't know either, but
no,
yeah, he. You know, and I believe he no hit the Nationals Triple A Farm Club, of all things.
poetic justice, as they say.
So yeah, I thought that was just kind of humorous. After all the discussion we had, I was like, oh hey, look at that! He went out and knocked those guys down.
And part of it, I do believe it's not just mechanics; it's the mental state. I mean, you know, can you imagine now bringing him up? Oh, wow. You know, you're going to have a lot of White Sox fans that are, you know, like you would say, a little bit too pandemonious about it or whatever, that are going to get way too excited about this and, you know, want to see him up here next week. Well, you know, what happens to the mental state when, you know, he does that down there? And now next week he's going up against, you know, let's just for the hell of it. You know, he's the guy stuck pitching against Chris Sale with the Red Sox in town. You know, and then gets shelled and the crap beat out of him. What does that do to his mental state? You know, maybe you're right with the position players. I think it's definitely a little different. But I think, you know, helping build that confidence down there in the AAA and then, you know, letting him get his innings in spring training where he's going up against major leaguers and, you know, a mixture where you're going up against everybody, not just the minor leaguers.
Yeah, no, you know, like I would have no problem if they bring him up in September and let him get a couple starts, you know, just to kind of, I'll see what goes on there. But yeah, other than that, you know, I have no issue with it. So, you know, and I don't know if you know, Dan, but the Facebook game tonight is the Angels and the Marlins.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not sure, but I think Twitter's doing a game too, but they really haven't like announced it. They did one last week.
Yeah, I believe they did do one last week. I did notice that. So, you know, there's, you know, baseball really getting out in front of the social media thing. I wonder, is there, you know, there's got to be a way, right, to look and see how many people are watching this?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, Facebook is built on data and analytics, so I'm sure their team is putting all that together. The Facebook team, that is.
So, Yeah, you know, I'm sure. Yeah, there's definitely some kind of way, I'm sure. I just, you know, obviously I couldn't figure it out. That's here. So,
You'll have to search it on Bing tomorrow morning.
yeah. So, yeah, it would be interesting to have to, you know, check that out and see who, you know, what their, I guess you could call it, ratings were or how many people checked it out. So,
Now, but in big surprising news, Big Jack, I know I'm sure you've heard about it and you fell out of your seat when it happened and just couldn't contain yourself over the complete shock of it, but Cavaliers are going to face the Warriors in the finals. Yay, we've got that going June 1st. And everybody and their mother is, since LeBron has passed Jordan on scoring in the playoffs, now the debate is starting to happen again, which, I don't want to stick too long on it, but I mean, I'm just getting tired of it already. Because at the end of the day, you can't compare the different eras. The style was different. King James isn't going to retire next year to go play for the Cleveland Indians, and then come back and win, go to seven more championships in a row. The difference in the 5 to 7 game series to open, that makes a difference. But at the end of the day, I mean, you just can't compare the two eras. So why do we still continue to have this debate?
yeah, you know, it's like you said, you know, you need something to talk about or you need something to write about or, you know, that, 'cause I mean, it comes up in every sport. You know, we do it all the time with, you know, baseball and, you know, basketball, football, even hockey. You know, it's just, you know, the way people are. And you know, and I mean, you know, I'm never going to come on here and say LeBron James isn't a great player. Clearly he is. You know, he's probably the best player in the NBA right now. You know, but you know, and you know, I've heard the side, well, you know, he can do this and he can, you know, Jordan can't do that. Yeah, whatever. You know, Jordan
Well,
was a much, much better player than LeBron was.
I mean, but I don't know why everyone's talking about those two when, LaMar Ball would have been probably the greatest to play the
Yes.
game ever.
Yeah, well, he did play the game. He was a bench warmer. So, you know.
He would have crossed over Jordan more times than Allen Iverson could ever dream of, and I
Yeah,
mean, I don't know why
for
we're not talking about Sorry, I've been waiting all day to say that. I've been waiting all day.
Did you see he turned that argument he had with that Kristen Leahy into a t-shirt when he was on that schmuck Colin Cowherd show?
Wow, no, I mean, great marketing, right?
Yeah, selling
Get
it for
dinner for less
$60.
than.
Yeah, you can get a t-shirt that says "Stay in yo Y-O lane" for $60 on the Big Baller site. So, you know, there you go. I'm a little surprised that some women's group didn't attack him after that whole issue, because he was completely out of line. He had no business talking to her like that, and he basically implied that since she was a woman, she didn't know what she was talking about, and somehow he got off the hook. I don't know how that happened.
I mean, do you think it has to do with they just don't even want to deal with the guy?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, what it is. Or, you know, I think a lot of people just consider him a joke like I do. You know, I don't take anything about the guy seriously. I mean, I know he's a clown, and you know, he's looking for his 15 minutes that he didn't get as a player. So, you know, I mean, I get it. Everybody wants that little piece of the pie, and his kids are his way of getting it. And he's gonna make sure this time he gets it.
Well, like you said, being kind of a joke, do you think like the Royals organization, everyone just brushes it off, doesn't even want to deal with it because, you know, it's just going to be a back and forth.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it will become more interesting as, you know, like once his kid is drafted and they have to go into negotiations and all the stuff that goes with it. So that will become the fun stuff. But, you know, like he already told the Celtics that he's not going to work out for them. The kid is only going to work out for the Lakers. He only wants to play for the Lakers. But, you know, the Celtics are the number one pick, and, you know, so far they've been saying, well, maybe they'll still pick him. I don't know why they would. It would be a pretty stupid move on their part. But, you know, they've mentioned that if they think he's the best player, they're going to take.
Well, I mean, if he gets drafted by them and doesn't sign, does that make him ineligible for the year? Like, how does that work?
You know, I believe if he doesn't sign, he could actually just, he could go overseas and sign there and play. I don't believe anything limits that. You know, obviously he just wouldn't be playing, you know, in the NBA because he, you know, he wouldn't have a contract. So, you know, that it would be an, you know, an interesting scenario, you know, kind of seeing how that plays out or how things kind of work out, but
I was curious as to the fact of whether he's allowed to, you know, be open market to the NBA if he hasn't signed with who picks him.
I think what would be interesting is if he did go and didn't sign the entire year, I don't know if he, you know, does he, I'm not sure if he goes back in the draft, you know, like baseball players go back into the draft. But I don't know if basketball works the same way or how long, like, the Celtics would hold his rights. If I remember correctly, I believe, though, they would hold them for multiple years because that's what teams do with the, you know, foreign players they draft. They draft them early and then hang on to their rights. So, you know, but, yeah, that could be a really interesting scenario there if Boston have pick them and, you know, or if the, you know, the thing that would really kill him is if the Lakers decided not to take him, if he was there at two and the Lakers passed on him, that would just be a nightmare.
I mean, you almost feel like if you're Magic Johnson and crew that you're being forced to take him.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily he's a good player. So, you know, it's not like, you know, it's, you know, not like they're drafting you or I. You know, they're getting a quality player in this kid. You know, and I like them. Like, I don't think they're worried about the father at all. You know, Magic will just tell him to go, you know, go take a long walk on a short pier. So.
And you got to buy a ticket.
That would be funny. Yeah, if they said, yeah, sorry, kid, go, you know. Tell your daddy's buying tickets. So, you know, that could be quite interesting. You know, I am kind of wondering if is his attempt going to be to get all three kids on the Lakers or what, you know, what, how would that work out?
Lakers, Clippers, Lakers.
Yeah, I, you know, that's kind of, you know, kind of how or why you would want to do it, but who, you know, who knows, that could be interesting, but I do realize here, Dan, I know neither you or I have seen, you know, got to see it last night, but the Penguins did advance. It took double overtime for Pittsburgh to move along, but we have our Stanley Cup final matchup set for Monday. We've got the Penguins will be the home team. They will host the Nashville Predators on Monday. You and I have an ongoing bet here. You won last year with the Penguins, so you have the honor of picking again. So tell the world who your pick is in our bet here.
Well, you know, I just can't go against the hot team. And, you know, who is the hot team? Well, I really think I'm going with the 8th seed and taking Nashville. Going with Pittsburgh last year. And I know it's really difficult to back-to-back championships in any sport these days. While obviously they have a 50-50 chance. I don't know. I feel like this is the year of the Predators. I wasn't buying it in the regular season, but I mean, Pecorini's really turned it around for this postseason for them. And you know, like I said, it's amazing how letting go of Shea Weber and making that swap for Subban has kind of really made a huge difference in this team. Even though, you know, Shea Weber was kind of one of those scoring defensive guys, Subban turned out to be kind of the same player, if not better. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's definitely done well for them. So all right, we're doing the T-shirt bet. Dan is going with he gets the Predators this year, so I get the Penguins by default. And that all starts Monday, so we'll see how that goes. And of course, I'm sure we'll keep you updated and you know how everything is rolling along. But yeah, you know, from what I heard, it was a pretty awesome game last night.
Overtime was
pretty nuts, and a lot of team had chances to score.
Well, I did stream it up until I think the third period. I was so tired I couldn't take it anymore. But if you're looking at the Facebook page and Twitter at SportsTime Radio, I did put out the game recap. So I know the shows you watch definitely wouldn't be showing any Stanley Cup recaps. You could have checked their highlights, so you should have checked that out earlier.
Yeah.
Because they don't obviously give you all of it, but what you watch and the recap, it's pretty damn exciting for that postseason. For the, what do we call it now? Overtime, the double OT.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, luckily I got a really good play-by-play from Schomburg Stu in my email because he actually stayed up and watched the entire game. And, you know, obviously it was definitely worth the viewing. And, I mean, again, you know, since they're up against each other, the NHL playoffs have been so much better than the NBA playoffs. It's not even funny. And, you know, but yet all anybody wants to talk about is the NBA because they got the big money contract with the, you know, with the Mickey Mouse Network, and they've got to push them out there because, you know, it just cost over 100 people their jobs. So.
Yeah, they fired, I forgot who it was, but a big name today, too.
Oh, did they let somebody else go?
Yeah, I can't remember now off the top of my head.
Yeah. So I know they hired Chip Kelly. He's going to do college analysis and some pro football stuff for them. So it's weird they canned all these people, but they're bringing in Chip Kelly. So,
yeah, I thought that was weird.
You know, but yeah, you know, I guess, you know, business, you know, just one of those things. So, all right, well, Dan and I are going to take off. I'm under the impression we're going to have the long weekend because Monday is a holiday. So Dan and I will be back Tuesday at 5:30 to do this for you. But you know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link yourself over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you need us. Don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here 10 a.m. Sunday morning. As long as he's allowed to do the podcast, we'll be here. I think he's okay this week. Meet us here for a couple hours. We'll go over some FanDuel stuff for you. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.
Roll out. Roll out. Sports Time Radio.